Thursday night, and you're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, a tree hugger, and welcome aboard for another chatting about kayak fishing. Let's see. Buzzard's Row is filling up. We've got... We'll start down here at the list. Hey, Mr. Becker, how are you, sir?
How much better could it possibly be?
How much better could it be? Well, it could be about 8 degrees warmer and not raining.
Oh, in other words, it would be like 20 degrees cooler than here.
Yeah, we're I think we're sitting at about 66 here in rain.
Nice.
So
nice.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty outside. Let me bring in Mr. Haywood. How are you, sir?
What's happening?
How much, man? What have you been doing?
I've been busy. I was in Utah. Didn't get to fish last weekend because of the 7-day fronts. We got another one coming in this weekend. Really starting to piss me off.
Yeah? So you're just mad because you can't fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know how the feeling is, man. It's kind of like...
I got lures to review. I got boots to review. I got gadgets to review. I got the video camera. I got everything set up, and it's going to blow.
Slappy Jack must die.
Yeah. I think
Slappy
we're gonna...
Jack is taking a ride over the Skyway Bridge with me in the morning. And
you need to bring him down to Chokoloski for the boondoggle, man. Put him in a velvet bag, and we'll take him out and lose him in the 10,000 islands, right?
I don't know, man. That's bad juju. You start doing that, something will fall off or something.
I know, right? Yeah. All right. Let me see here. We got some more folks. Wheeler, what's up, man?
What's going on, man?
Not much. Not much. How's the weather up there?
Cold. The wind finally died down for a minute.
A minute?
In between blows. Yeah.
And just wait another minute. It'll change, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and it's a treat. We've got Isaac the Nothing Miller with us this evening. Good evening, Isaac.
Good evening. Is it a treat or is it a trick?
Question. You're a little late for that one, man. How are
better
you?
Late than never. West Doing Coast. All right. Doing all right out here, you know. Heard you complaining about the cold.
Yeah.
We're used to it.
I know you are, man.
We finally had our first frost here in downtown Portland yesterday morning.
Right.
So then the rain came in, and, well, rain means there's cloud cover, and cloud cover helps pick the temperatures up a little bit. So
it gives like a little blanket there.
Yeah, you know, nice little quilt. I think we might have hit 58 today, so.
Woo.
Yeah.
You know, though, I will say that when it comes down to hot or cold, I'd rather be cold because you can always put put another log on the fire, or put another sweater on or whatever. But when it's hot,
exactly.
You know, you can only take so much off and
exactly.
Then you're getting arrested. So and just silly pictures on Facebook and stuff, right?
Yeah. You know, hot for me hits around 70 to 75.
Yeah.
So, you know, this 50 to 60 degree mark, I'm cool with that.
It's kind of like average daily temperatures out where you're at.
I think average is like 67 and cloudy.
And for those of you who haven't listened before, Isaac the Nothing Miller is joining us from Portland, Oregon, the great Wild West. He's one of our hosts with the Wild West. Kayak fishing in the Wild West. In fact, I'm not sure if this is Rob or Spike. Which is it? 714. It's Rob. Okay.
Hey. How you doing?
Man. All right. So.
Good deal.
Yeah, so I still like Spike and Ike show, man.
It's fun.
It's fun. Yeah, it's good. All right. And then let me go over and say hey to the folks in the chat room. And that would be Benita Bob is in there. We've got a couple of guests. Jason Self. Hello, Jason. And the Yak Sushi is in there. All right. So, okay. So we got a pretty good crew here tonight. I got a couple of discussion items that I'd like to run by Buzzard's Roost here and maybe get some comments from the chat room. But we'll kick it off. We'll get started here. One of the things that we had here just recently, and I saw in the news, we'll just kind of cover some news, but Jose Chavez from, I think he's down around your area, right, Bill? Is he on the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so did a pretty good showing for the first... I guess world tournament, kayak fishing tournament there.
Hobie World Kayak.
Yeah, the Hobie World Tournament. That's right. Because it was like they were all out there in little mini aircraft carriers with their pro anglers and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I sent Jose a note and asked him to join us here on Kayak Fishing Radio when he got back and got settled in. I'm sure he's got to do the ticker tape parades and all that good stuff. But, I mean, he finished up fourth, but it was a good showing for the first time. And I don't know. I'm not real good at going to places I've never been and catching a fish. So,
yeah, well, he finished day one on top. He was first place on day one.
Yeah, he did.
Which, yeah. The first three at the very end were all Australians.
Yeah.
So they were all fishing known waters, known techniques. So that's just, I mean, to come out on top on day one, that's extraordinary in my
opinion. Come out of the chocks, just smoking them, right? Yeah. That was really good.
That is awesome for him.
It's really cool, and I hope we see some good stuff come out of that. I'd like to see some more international stuff. This kayak fishing, it is a good sign of growing interest in the sport, and that's what we're all about. Mm-hmm. On another tournament note, was looking at one of the Kayak Angler Mag there, and Aqua Hunters, mahalo to the boys out there in Hawaii, if any of them pick up the broadcast or listen to the podcast. The Mahiki is their premier kayak fishing tournament, and it goes on for like 8 months, so it's kind of like Kayak Wars, but I don't know if you saw it, but this dude pulled in a 225.5-pound blue marlin, Andy Cho. Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, from the beak and all, it is, it looks like he's fishing like one of those 14.7s. It looks like it's an ocean kayak. But it's got either that or he installed it himself right under in front of the seat. He's got a big square thing. So it looks like either a Trident or whatever, but huge fish, man. And he's like, I gaffed it when it got close. Then I used my brother's knife to stab it. He said it was pretty big. So they strapped the fish between their two kayaks, and then they took their paddles apart and paddled in like a canoe to get the thing ashore.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it's pretty awesome, man. Is that the... yeah. So, and then they're chatting about one of the posts I put up. But anyway, so some pretty interesting stuff in the news. It looks good for kayak fishing, these big tournaments and guys getting some big fish. And I don't know if you've been watching, like, the national news, but a couple of spots on the news. They were talking about some surfer tonight where a couple of whales are coming up, you know, and they're breaching, going after krill or whatever. And they were saying, oh, the surfer. But there was like a kayaker sitting right next to a big tan cobra. And these two blue whales just breach right in front of them, rocking them around and stuff. So it's pretty sick. But very cool. And then, so... Speaking of tournaments, I saw on yakangler.com, if you haven't visited there, make sure you go check out yakangler.com. It's kind of our cousin site, sister site, sister cousin site or something like that. I don't know. It's up in those guys in Kentucky. I'm not sure, but we kind of like those guys. But somebody brought up the fact about doing like a kayak fishing league. And it, not so much about the league itself, but, you know, just having like little tournaments and stuff like that. That's kind of cool. I was wondering, and maybe somebody on the board here, why do we not just, when we do a tournament, why don't we just fish for inches of fish? Why do we always have to have some sort of adjustment factor or some kind of point base for a certain type of fish or something like that? Why isn't it just, you know, because when you fish like a boat tournament, you usually go on your total weight, right? And so why have there been these, and I looked at several different tournament setups, and they go on some kind of basis for, and I just don't understand. Anybody got any? Go ahead.
I'm kind of confused exactly what you're asking. I mean, as far as I know, they usually are by weight or by length. Are you talking about like kayak wars where it's...
Yeah, like kayak wars where you have, you know, you get so many points for this kind of, this size fish.
It's adjusted for location because you guys down there in Florida have huge bass, right?
Okay.
Huge bass. And up here in the Northwest, they're not going to get near that big. So, you know, a 20-inch smallmouth here in Portland's a great-sized smallmouth. I mean, that is awesome. But further out east, they might be catching 20 inches all day long, and a 24-inch smallmouth, which is actually, that's going to be huge, too. But, you know, it's just adjusted for area. Colder waters, you know, when it comes to those warm water fish like the bass, crappie, and whatnot, the cold water up here is going to stunt them. They're not going to get big. Same thing, you know, with the cooler water fish. You know, an 8-inch trout down south in warmer waters might be a phenomenal trout, whereas to get something awesome in a trout here in the Northwest, it's got to be 20-plus inches. So, you know, usually 24 to 28 inches is going to be a great trout here, and you're just not going to get that further south. So it's just, you know, based on geographics and what the water's like and what the fishing's like, and that's the way they kind of adjust those things, if that makes any sense. You guys still there?
Yeah, some of us are here.
Okay.
It just got real quiet. I hit the mute button. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, so if you hit one big 6-foot sturgeon, you'd blow all of our big bass away.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, then we get, but I mean, like when you're in this, down in South Florida, you go catching, you get into a big school of little, you know, peanut dolphin, you can catch 20 or 30 of those, but they're only like, you know, 10, 12 inches long. And you can catch them all day long. So, but I don't think they should be worth like, you know, 50 points or something like that. So, but I don't know. It was just, you know, getting different points. And I would just think that if you're going to talk about region, then just have it be individual regions and then adjust it after you claim your winner for your regions. I don't know. That would be my thing.
Yeah.
Just trying to compare. Because it is. It's comparing apples to oranges, you know. I mean, because a brook trout here in Georgia, if there is any brookies, we got little rainbows, little browns. But they're tiny, you know. Or like in Southern California, you get a brookie and I mean, I went out, trekked out through this place, a secret spot to go catch brook trout for my first time. And I got back and a guy goes, "Did you catch anything?" And I go, "Yeah, but there were like all these little 6-8 inch fish, man. I didn't see any big ones." He goes, "That's as big as they get."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but you guys get some huge monster trout up there.
Oh yeah, we've got big trout here in the Northwest.
Right.
In fact, they go so far in a lot of places. Any trout, rainbow trout, even in a landlocked situation in a lake, if it's over 24 inches,
mm-hmm.
they consider it steelhead.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, steelhead and rainbow trout are the same thing, except the steelhead are rainbow trout that have made it out to the ocean and back.
Right.
It's technically how that's supposed to work, but so there's landlocked situations.
What is that? There's a scientific term for fish that do that. I can't remember it right now.
Anadromous.
There you
go. I can't even pronounce that right, but
close enough.
Anadromous. Yep.
Anadromous. Yeah. Anadromous. I always throw an extra A in there. But
I'll tell you what, I have to interrupt here real quick to announce the arrival of our very own mermaid. Good evening, Dee.
Hi, everybody.
The weather still must be bad because you're joining us tonight. You got no.
Oh, no. I just got home.
Did you really?
I did.
And you said,
let me just
turn this on and see what those guys are talking about. I lose you?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I took advantage of the one day. And I went from sunup to sundown, baby. And I checked out a new place. Well, it's not a new place, but I just had to get away from the Sebastian Inlet area.
Right.
And it was magnificent. It was absolutely a joy to be out and enjoying nature. And 6 alligators and like 12 dolphins. You know, it's like a football game, gators versus dolphins. It was ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah, but it was great. It was great. So, yeah, I just got in. I'm going to make some soup and probably head to bed real quick because I'm so tired. But I just wanted to say hi.
Hi. Good to hear from you.
Hi, everybody. Yay.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yep.
Hey, Dee.
Hey.
Yeah. But, wind's been just absolutely crazy on the East Coast. Both offshore and inshore people are having a hard time. If you have a kayak, you're probably even worse, obviously. So whatever you can do to get out there, you know, do what you can. So I was one of 2 people out there. Yay!
That's always good, right?
But I was blessed. Oh, yeah.
Was the other person with you, or were they fishing on their own?
No, they were totally on their own in the wrong spot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the wrong spot.
Oh, totally. Totally. I was pulling in trout left and right, and there were a few redfish I spotted with the color of our water is really coffee-colored and very hard to see. If you're in anything over a foot, you can't really make out anything that's underneath it.
Right.
And a foot's not very much. But I had a few reds swim by and a huge, it had to have been 30, 35-inch redfish showing his tail and going, bye-bye. Said, I don't want to eat anything you have.
Mm.
And it took off. And then a couple more trout during the middle of the day. And then towards sundown, I ran into a bunch of single redfish that were plowed up against the mangrove wall. And if you know how our grass is, right now it's dying. It has been dying for a while. And it just kind of piles up against the shore with the wind and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got finger mullet that are swimming along those grass areas. And they're, maybe 6 inches. They're in this grass swimming around. And the redfish were coming from deeper water and charging them and smashing into them as they were going on shore. And I hooked up on 4 of these redfish.
Cool.
Okay, hooked up, mind you. I didn't land them.
Right.
What was going on is there's so much of this brown grass floating, and it's crappy grass, that they'll suck in your lure,
mm-hmm.
and they'll suck it into a certain point, and then they'll just spit it because it's grass. They don't want it. They just want what's on the end.
It's just so kind of foul in the hook, huh?
Yeah, quick 5-minute, not even 5 minutes, 3-minute, 2-minute fight, and then they're gone. But it was fun.
Cool.
It'll get better. Winter's always better down here. You know, you were asking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. When the colder weather comes in, it'll start clearing up, and sight fishing will be back again. It'll be great.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well,
come on down. Come on down. Everybody, come on down.
Come on down. Well, I think that
I'm looking forward to the boondoggle, man.
Are you going to join us for the boondoggle, Dee?
I really, really want to do it. I really do. But it would only be me, so I'd have to find someone to camp with.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
I can always sleep in the truck. I've done that before. So.
you got a big camper on the back of your truck, right? You just roll your sleeping bag out there and. Well,
yeah.
I'm sure we'll be able to find some accommodations for you.
We'll figure it out. It's a while away.
The mermaid shows up. But, yeah, I think Scuba Stan was talking about visiting your coast sometime around the middle of January. So.
Excellent.
We'll see what kind of time off we've got there. Maybe come down and do a little pre-fish before February. So. All right, Isaac, you're going to take off, man. Thanks for dropping by, man. So it's good to hear from you. So Isaac has left the building. Their show is tomorrow, the Spike and Ike, as I like to call it, or the Kayak Fishing the Wild West with him and Spike, Dennis Spike. So check it out. And so speaking of the boondoggle, it is set. It's on. We're looking forward to it. It is February, the core date. Some people might show up a little early. I know Captain Wright down there from Everglades Kayak Fishing, or Kayak Fishing Everglades, Everglades Kayak Fishing. Sorry if I got that messed up. But Captain Charles Wright, he has a paddle in that's going. It's going to start on the 11th. So if people want to show up early and then hang out and fish with us when we get down there. But we'll be there on the 17th. Through the 20th in Chokoloskee, Florida. It's just a couple miles south of Everglades City. We're going to be staying at Chokoloskee Island Park. We have the information is there. You can go to kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle, and that'll get you there, or yakangler.com/boondoggle. And the Yak Angler one has all the event information. We've got some more stuff kind of on Kayak Fishing Radio. Now we got a page for it there. So, but if you're going to sign up, we want you to go to yakangler.com and make sure you sign up so we know who's coming, and hopefully can get some cool stuff set up for you. But we've got the pavilion set up. Benita Bob was nice enough to talk to Linda there and get us set up. We got the pavilion, which is right on the seawall there at CIP, and we've got that set from 5 to 8. Both evenings that we're there, primary Saturday and Sunday evening, and we'll be doing that. Hold on. And it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. And speaking of that, one of the things that I did at the last one, we kind of talked about, we were sitting around the campfire on Saturday night there, not knowing what to do, but what do you think about maybe we do some kind of, I don't know, maybe we can get one of the guides or somebody to show up and talk about maybe how to rig your baits or something like that, maybe teach us something new. Anybody got any ideas on that, what might be interesting? Or you just want to sit around the campfire and drink beer and tell fish stories?
I vote for that.
Get a guy. Yeah, have the guy come down, sit around the campfire, drink beer, and tell fish stories.
Okay. All right. All right. What do you think, Bill? You vote for that?
I just vote for the sit around the campfire and tell fish stories.
And tell fish stories? You don't want to, like, have a radio tuned to, like, some really old country and western and use foul language and stuff all night long?
No.
No? Okay.
I'll be down at the dock shark fishing, so you guys can...
Well, we're just going to be able to yell at you. I don't know if you've seen where the pavilion. I don't know if did they have the pavilion there?
Yes,
when you, it's right there.
I've been there about 8 times. I know that place like the back of my hand, and that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be out on the dock fishing.
Which hand is that? Okay.
Don't get him started.
No.
On that.
All right. All right. You're going to be shark fishing, huh? All right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Bonita Bob in the chat room said he's got somebody set up for peacock bass. They don't allow campfires, so we have to get creative. We'll have to bring one of those ones that are canned, you know, so you just kind of plug it into the propane tank.
They have one in the pavilion. It's like one of those.
One of the gas ones.
Fire pit, cage things, you know. They have
cool.
One of those. So.
All right, cool. So we'll do that. All right. That'll be fun.
Fire. Beer.
Fire and beer.
Fire
fish. Call.
Fish.
I'm there.
You're there. Didn't know you were Scottish, D.
Sorry.
Let's get a little carried away. Right? Okay, cool.
Well,
that'd be
chick.
Great. You know, we have. Well, number one, I think Hammerhead is trying to get down there. I think he might be there about 3 months early, because they had 27 inches of snow in New Hampshire and probably no power, so that's probably why we haven't heard from him. So we got Hammerhead coming down from New Hampshire. I think Russ is showing up. He's already signed up, so he's coming in from. Louisiana. So
Venice,
yeah. So we've already got like we've already got like 20 people signed up to show up for the boondoggle. So that's very cool. It's going to be a good time. What else did I have here? Oh, I had put in from last week and kind of started a little thread in there, but seats in your kayak. Somebody, I know, D, you are a native pro staffer, and you have your fancy seat, the ultimate seat there, which is a lot of people said give high remarks for that seat. Bill, what kind of seat do you use in your kayak?
Just a Kraken Dawn. Did you notice that I didn't sit down very much up there?
Right.
Peter Pete. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I have the Stealth, I don't sit very much. So, but it's just in that kayak, it's just a plain Kraken Dawn seat, and it's very comfortable because the way that seat well is kind of curved, and you sit below the level of the forward standing deck area. It's very comfortable. I could sit in the Stealth all day long and it doesn't bother me. On my X13, it's more of a flat seating surface and it's not really that comfortable compared to the Stealth.
Right, and I think that's the issue that I'm seeing, and maybe with Mr. Becker there also in his design kayak there with the seating surface is just flat. It's just straight, you know, from where your derriere goes in, straight out, you know. So you're just like, you might as well just be sitting on the floor with your feet out in front of you. And it's just not very comfortable. So.
And, you know, it probably takes a little bit more effort for the manufacturers to kind of design a seat area where it's kind of cupped like that, and especially on his would be, you know, that would be a lot more work with his kayak, seeing how it's at the Kevlar fiberglass mix.
Right. So. But,
I was thinking about Chip's idea of some, 2-inch high density foam as kind of like a sub seat.
Well.
Something to get a little bit of bend in your legs.
Try doing this next time when you go out. Take like a cushion and put it under there, and just that extra inch or 2 inches that it raises you up changes your center of balance, and you'll go from a stable kayak to a real tippy kayak real quick. It'll feel. I had that on my when I was paddling my Heritage, and
yeah,
I would take just a normal little seat cushion and put it underneath me, and just raising yourself up that much more shifted your center of gravity and made it really squirrely.
Yeah, actually, Chip and I had an extended conversation about that. So, you have the empirical evidence to show.
So, Jason in the chat room just piped in and said that in the sea kayaks, he's one of those guys that sits inside, they shape their seats out of the closed cell foam, customize it to your cheeks there. I think they actually put some up on the sides to kind of lock them in there, but they're already tippy bones. So, yeah, I got a piece of closed cell high density foam. I got a piece that started off at 4.5 inches, so I'm working on whittling that down and kind of shaping it to create a seat. I use one of those like a what do they call it, a thermarest. You know, it's like a thermarest
thermoseat.
Yeah, so self-inflating and all, and I had that underneath, and that helps out. But it kind of gets moved around and stuff and all that. Because I have a problem standing up.
Too.
Yeah, it is. So my big giant head, when I stand up, it just creates all kinds of balance issues. So
the gravitational effect.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. So you don't want to get within like 2 paddle lengths of my boat. You'll be drawn into the gravity and you'll cause collision.
I hear when Chip stands up in his kayak, the polar magnetic poles try to shift.
They do. They do it down. I think the last time I stood up, there was like a tsunami somewhere over in Asia. So
that was you?
Yeah, that was.
No, it wasn't
my fault. It was not my fault, man. I'm not going to claim that. But so, yeah, just small earthquakes. Something below like a 1.3 on the Richter scale. But anyways, let's see. He's got some. Where are we at here? Jason just puts up some sweet cheeks, custom beanbag for your butt. All right, that'll be fun.
Well, I of course, we've got a really great seat, and we have what's called a captain's perch, and you can attach it to the back of your seat, which makes you sit a little bit higher. Similar to the height of being in a wilderness commander, although when they do that, you have to sit on their plastic butt cheek thingy. But I really have to tell you that the heat under your butt can get really bad. I don't know if any of you remember me commenting on a heat rash.
Yeah.
Over the summer, I fished like 7 days in a row. And on this, it was the thermal thingy, that's camouflage, and it gives you an extra another inch or inch and a half, and I put it on top of our captain's perch. Just
right.
Get a little higher. Man, did that get hot. It doesn't matter what color that thing is. It's hot. It's meant for football, get on the stadium seats. That's
right.
Awesome. But not in your kayak. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
So I've gone back to something like a towel.
You don't have the airflow. Yeah.
Yeah, back to a towel. know, something generic.
So you're the seat now. I've seen folks put the seats up higher in the Ultimates. Is there like some kind of wedge or something that you put up underneath that seat to make it higher?
There's multiple ways of making it higher. One is like what I just said. You can buy this kind of triangular foam piece that's on the outside is the actual mesh material that is made with the seats. So you got the foam, it makes a kind of a wedge, and you can just put your seat down, the back part, backrest,
right,
and it becomes flat. That's one way. Other people have actually not even slit the seat into the kayak itself on the inside. Now, I'm talking about the Ultimate. I don't know about the other ones.
Right.
But you can, because it's a pretty heavy-duty tray underneath, framework-wise, you could put it on top of the gunnels and sit on that, and it's become a lot higher as well.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know how they lock it in, but...
Right. I actually saw one. I went to the Ultimate owner site, and they had, like, some guy had devised a way by using PVC pipe, created like a little rack that they put up underneath it, and it made it stable and stuff. So it's kind of interesting.
Right.
But anyways, right, we are in the search for the Ultimate kayak seat, not taking away the copyright of the Ultimate kayak seat there. No disrespect to your boats there, Dee. They are nice boats.
Well, you know, and there's got to be an Ultimate seat for everybody, just like there's a car for everybody.
Right.
It's what you prefer. And if you all know me, I never really sit in my seat. I'm always standing. So I don't even care
right
that much.
Yeah, you guys.
I should.
Oh, to be
right?
Young.
It almost
to be young and agile again, to be able to jump around and walk the gunnels and stuff. Yeah.
Well, all right.
It's on the radio, Dee. We don't have to tell people exactly, you know, everything. Anyways, all right. So yeah, we're in search of kayak seats and good ones and what you think is a good one. But yeah, I believe that we're probably going to find that each person has their own best, you know, the one that they like. So, all right. Well, I tell you what, we're going to try something new here this week. We're going to let everybody go early. We're just kind of getting to, we've noticed that over the past few months that, you know, maybe we get too long winded here and stuff like that, but we're going to start wrapping it up for tonight. But we got the Boondoggle coming up. We've got, we're looking for kayak seats and what you think is good, yakangler.com there. Give us your thoughts. I guess that's about it for tonight. Unless somebody else has some special item they want to go after. You got anything, Wheeler? He's done lost it. Somebody said peacock bass, and Wheeler's on the floor again. See, he's not there. Bill, what are you doing this weekend, man? You gonna get out? You gonna make some video? You gonna? I don't. When you find out where those bass assassin mud minnows come from, you let me know, man. Because the only place I could find them was at Walmart in that one sportsman warehouse. So.
They didn't even have them on their website.
Yeah. So, but yeah, they were at the Walmart there in Chucktown. I knew, and I think I actually picked up like the last two bags that were there. So those are some pretty sweet looking little baits.
So well, I'm going to try them this weekend if the weather's not blowing.
Yeah, I like the way you rigged it up with that weedless hook and stuff. So.
It's really about the only way you can. You can't really use a like a weighted jerkbait hook, because then it wouldn't sit, you know, it's not going to sit flat. And that bait's really kind of designed to just kind of lay on the bottom and drag it or hop it off the bottom. So I'm just And, you know, this time of year, the grass starts dying off, so I start switching to a jig head anyway. And so that's my plan. I plan on throwing that in the potholes and then toss it up along the shoreline, you know, where there you'll have a maybe 3-foot area between the mangroves and the grass that's just nothing but sand. And, you know, that would be a perfect place to throw that because that's where those baits are anyway.
Right. Just
kind of bounced off the bottom. I'm going to look for them, see if I can order them off that link that you sent me because I'd like to try a little darker color.
Yeah, and they didn't have them. They said they were not available, but they have them in that electric chicken too. So yeah. Somebody made them. But the other way I thought about it, you could rig them is like, you know, kind of like a Texas rig with like a little bullet head weight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You could probably try that,
yeah,
with just a straight shank hook and or a weedless straight shank. That would get it to lay on the bottom. But you're right, man, the thing has to lay. I tried, you know, rigging it with a worm hook and just looking at the way the comes on the bottom, you have to put the worm hook upside down and then it would flip over,
mm-hmm.
I think, when you put it in the water. So, all right, well, cool.
Run it with a short Carolina rig and I just hook it through the nose.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, little Carolina rig, kind of wacky rig it or something around it, right through the nose. Yeah, so that'd be cool. I'm stoked to see how that works. All right, so let's see. I think Yak Sushi's heading out. See there? Everybody's ready to go. Jason's leaving. Thanks for stopping in. Rob, what are you doing this weekend, man? Are you fishing or what?
No fishing this weekend, but I'm going to finish up my vlog that I started from last week, kind of. And I'm going to get started on my my always dreaded yet always popular badtastic Christmas holiday shopping guide.
Oh,
and I got to do that for Yak Angler anyway, but I'm going to do it instead of writing it this year on the blog, which, you know, I'm inspired back on the blog again, so keep your eyes peeled. but I'm going to put together a video shopping extravaganza for Black Friday for the outdoor lover near you.
All right. Look forward to it. D, where are you headed?
Let's see. I am going to head to Strike Zone tomorrow. They've got a big sale of like $40, $39.95, $49.95. I'm not sure how much they were. Reels that they're trying to get rid of from Daiwa for $10.
Get out.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's something I really want to invest in, like that's an investment, but I'll go shopping, try them out, see what's up. I don't know if anybody has any input, but I'm sure everybody's gone already. But pretty much just wait it out because it's supposed to be really, really windy again. I've got multiple clients on hold because of the wind, so it's kind of stressful.
All right.
You know what? Everybody be happy.
Okay. Hey, it's good to have you aboard again.
Yeah. Sorry I missed out.
Well, you've been busy.
Yeah.
That's okay.
All right.
It's all right. It's just good when you show back up. We like to have you here. So.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot. And
what are you doing?
What am I doing? I was pushing the button to make the kids go yay. Well, it's actually kind of a nasty kind of weekend, and well, the rain's supposed to move through tonight and tomorrow, but actually Saturday morning I told the clone that I would take him down to the supermoto track, and we're going to do a track day and go race around the track on motorcycles. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
I love that stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So we put a new carb on his bike this week, and he's pretty stoked about it. So it gave a little more power and all. So So hopefully it won't be too freezing cold to go down there and race, but that'll be fun. And Mr. Becker, you, sir?
Sir. Well, it depends on what the wind does. I was hoping to get out and then not only try out the outriggers, but try to remember what a fish looks like on the other end of the line.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while for that. we've got the big air show at MacDill Air Force Base this weekend, so that runs Saturday and Sunday. We'll be down there for one of those days with the family, and the rest of it, we'll play it by ear.
Okie doke. Sounds like fun. Well, again, thanks everybody for showing up, and jackangler.com, Kayak Fishing Radio. If you listen to the podcast and we talked about a product or something like that, we'll try to make sure that we get it all in the wrap-up, which will be on our webpage there. Go to kayakfishingradio.com, and the feed will show up there. So give me a day to get my spelling book out and make sure I get everything spelled right. Check the links and stuff, but we have a recap for the shows. Hopefully all of my broadcast hosts will start doing it faithfully. And you can, if you're listening to the podcast, you'll be able to catch up on the links and stuff that we talked about. So thanks again, everybody. Make sure that you're safe out there. Don't forget about the Boondoggle. Check it out. KayakFishingRadio.com/Boondoggle or YakAngle.com/Boondoggle. And we'll see you next week. Listen to the shows 5 nights a week now. And we'll tight lines, take the kid fishing. We'll see you next week.
Nighty-night.
Yeah.